This is the Community Podcast with Zach Beard and Aaron Marco, two Morgantown real estate agents highlighting the good people of our city and state. We're taking you behind the sign, connecting interesting people, places, and faces, why they do what they do, and how they came to be doing it. We're building a better community. Take two.
Hey, good morning. This is Aaron Marco with Zach Beard in the Community Podcast. We're down here today talking to Chris DeFazio at the Morgantown Brewing Company. We're going to find out a little bit about what's going on down here. Good morning. How you doing, Chris?
Good morning. I'm doing well.
Fantastic. Yeah. Good to see you. Zach, good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning.
Everybody doing all right?
Oh, absolutely.
All right.
Good. Very well.
Good deal. Let's talk to Chris a little bit today about what's going on down here. Chris, you've been down here for a couple of years now. You picked up the place when?
It was 2018, so it's been, you know, just a couple of years, like you said.
Yeah.
It's been a long and interesting road, especially this past year.
Definitely, yeah, I bet. Yeah.
I'm glad it's over. But
Chris, I can't help but notice you're a young guy and you're in business for yourself. I think it's fantastic. How did you get into the brewing business? How did you end up in where you're at?
Oh, yeah, thanks. Yeah. That's a long story. Yeah, actually, we've been in the brewing business since my business partner and I, Cody Cheese Brew. We've been in the brewing business since around 2015. We were both students at WVU. We were both in engineering. Cody was in chemical engineering, and I did computer science. We kind of both realized that, like, we didn't really want to work in industry pretty early on. It was, you know, I've always wanted to go off on my own, and you know, I just have trouble working for other people. Like, I need to do my own thing, you know? So I knew I wanted to do something, and, you know, Cody was really into homebrewing at the time. So we started, with my roommate at the time, we started homebrewing in my basement, in college. We kind of on a lark decided to enter this, intercollegiate business plan competition through the university, and wrote out this big business plan, you know, just like 50 page business plan with, you know, how we were going to raise, I think it was like something like $750,000 that we were going to raise to just build a brand new brewery from scratch. And so we ended up, you know, winning, the competition. It's kind of almost like Shark Tank, you know, they get together like, some local business people and sort of like
kind of grade your business plan.
Yeah,
right.
So you guys get up and present. Yeah, so we ended up winning, you know, all three rounds of that. We were finalists. So the grand prize was I think something like 10 grand or something, which at the time, you know, like I was 24 and I was like, we don't come from like wealthy families or anything like that. So we've never seen that much money before in our lives. And we were like, oh, wow, 10 grand. Not even close to, you know, like the $750,000 that we needed. But we were really stoked about it. And so we used that. Plus, you know, if you win the I think it's the second part of the competition, you also win like an additional $3,000, or maybe it was $3,500. But so we used the proceeds from that to buy just the most luxurious homebrewing equipment that you can imagine. Just like, you know, like our dream homebrew equipment, threw that in our basement, and just, you know, started brewing batches. And, you know, we said when we entered the competition, like, all right, you know, we're going to try this out. And if it doesn't work out, then we'll just, you know.
So you started bootlegging beer.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
we didn't say that.
Yeah. To investors and people in the community, we did just, you know, basically give a lot of free samples
and get some feedback.
Get
right
some
on.
Feedback. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
And so those are the recipes that you're currently using here now?
Not at all.
No, not at all.
No, those were terrible. Yeah.
Oh, really? They got you to a year, but they were terrible. Okay.
No, they were all right. Yeah. But we've come a long way since then, I hope. Yeah. So, yeah.
One of my first experiences here, when I came to legal drinking age, was the apricot ale. And that was prior to your ownership. But
yeah,
that was one I always remembered. You could sit on that back deck there and enjoy that.
Yeah, I know. It's weird because, you know, I've been coming here with my family for a long time. And, you know, the business started, I think, as a brewery in 1992. As One Onion, and then later West Virginia Brewing Company, and then later Morgantown Brewing Company. And I was born in 1991. So it almost was like meant to be, you know. They built it for me.
That's very cool. Yeah. So how has last year been with everything going on? Have you had any opportunities to focus on some new creations?
Yeah. So, I mean, we're always like, you know, since we started, I think that we've produced 70 plus unique beer recipes. So that's a big part of like what we do.
Yeah. Wow.
Now, are those in a rotational basis? Do they come out seasonally or some of them just kind of come and gone?
Yeah. Some of them are. Some of them are just very limited release, just, you know, experiments. Yeah. We like to experiment. And, you know, that's something that, as a craft beer drinker that I always liked, we always say that it's like collecting Pokemon cards. Like, you know, you want to try them all and you want to try something new. Craft beer drinkers like appreciate diversity. They appreciate getting to try something new.
I've liked beer probably since I was a very young child. I've always just liked the taste of beer. You know, long before pale ales became such a hot thing as of recently, I had a friend of mine that was from out west and had turned me on to, you know, the pale ale kind of thing a long time ago. And so that's kind of where I've kind of stayed. I'm not somebody that goes in and tries a whole bunch of different kinds of beer. I'm not, you know, opposed to trying some, but I like what I like and I kind of stay with it for the most part. And so what's your pale ale looking like down here?
So we have our Mountain Boy Pale Ale, which is just, you know, super sessionable, super easy drinking, you know, pale ale with Citra hops. And then, you know, we've always got a new hazy IPA. And that's what I tell people too, that, you know, say like, you know, I don't want to try something new. We're going to have something like that. If you like that IPA, you know, we'll hear all the time, like, oh, you got to bring that one back. You got to put that on all the time, keep it in constant rotation. But you know, if you like that one, you're going to like the next one, because basically what we do is we source all of our hops from the spot hop market. So that means, you know, there's always something new available, and we're just trying to, you know, sort of expand our own palettes, and, you know, get people out of their comfort zone a little bit and get people to experience.
Push the envelope a little bit.
Push the envelope and get them to try something new. You know, hops are kind of like, they're like grapes in wine.
Yeah.
And they add a lot of unique character, and, you know, it really depends on sort of, you know, where they're grown. We get a lot of ours from Yakima Valley, Washington, and, they're always coming out with, you know, all different types of experimental varietals. So
Washington State, and then what is it, Maine, are kind of the two primary, or is it Vermont?
So Washington State, and then, you know, that is the major producer in the U.S. It just has the right kind of climate, and it's, you know, near where the craft beer movement kind of got started in the U.S. And then also Australian hops are huge in craft beer. Those are some of the most coveted on the spot market is Australian hops. We've gotten Australian hops as well. We try to get them from all over the world, but the majority of the hops that we source are from Yakima Valley. We'd like to start sourcing some West Virginia hops. And excitingly, there are some hop farms cropping up. There's a program through the university that's helping farmers to process those hops, and they have to be really pelletized for like brewers to use them effectively.
Now, what does that mean to pelletize them?
So basically, you know, like a hop kind of it looks like a little pine cone, right? Mm-hmm. And you have to essentially what the pelletization does is it chops up that vegetable material and just it turns it into like a little gerbil food pellet, okay, basically. And that just, you know, you don't get very much utilization out of using what's called wet hops, which is just the raw hop in its little pine cone form. So you really want to use, the pelletized version. Sometimes you'll see wet hop beers on the market. It's mostly a gimmick, to be honest. You just don't get very good utilization out of it. You kind of have to process it that. Yeah. And that's a struggle for hop farmers because that equipment is very expensive. Yeah. So there's a local movement to help with that.
Have you had any problem in the supply chain over the past year? I know a lot of things have kind of been disrupted in supply chain types of things. Did you notice any of that at all down here for your beer making?
No. Actually, because of the pandemic, unfortunately the demand for beer has been down. I shouldn't say that. Actually, I think there's more drinking happening. But for whatever reason, the hop spot market has been great. I mean, we've been able to purchase things that we otherwise normally, would get bought up in the first few minutes of being for sale on the market. So, yeah, we actually had more availability.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
So what's kind of a daily process for you here as far as the beer side of things go?
So as far as the beer side of things go, we're getting a new piece of equipment, several new pieces of equipment, actually. We're getting some help from Citizens Bank, actually. Those guys have really helped us out with a couple new projects that we're working on. But we're getting a new canning line, an automated canning line that's going to allow us to, package beer more quickly, brew more beer as a result of that, and distribute our beer out to different parts of the state that we otherwise wouldn't be able to. That's gonna ramp things up, but actually 2020 has been in terms of beer production, very slow for us.
Very slow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Sure, because I would assume that most of your sales are on-site sales rather than off-site sales.
Yes, most of our sales have.
So that would make sense why yours is down.
On-site. Yes. Oh yeah.
Is that the reason you guys went into getting more of a canning machinery and so forth, so you could do that to get more off-premise sales?
So that's actually been, a plan from the beginning of 2020. It's kind of funny, since we took over in 2018, the brewery has been on a massive upward trajectory. Made some big changes to the business model by focusing on our tap room and pulling away from distribution. At the beginning of this year, we've broken sales records every year, since 2018, since we took over. So at the beginning of 2020, Cody and I were, really excited. We were, high-fiving each other, talking about, okay, this is going to be another record-breaking year. And we had fully planned to, get this canning line and new equipment much earlier in the year. And it's actually just about to come tomorrow. We're loading it off the semi truck tomorrow morning, hopefully.
Well, that's great. So where will people be able to find your beer as far as, buying it in stores and the cans, bottles?
So most of our sales are going to still be, through our tap room, and we're reaching out now to, local bars and restaurants that we have a good relationship, Black Bear, Black Bear Burritos, Black Bear Evansdale, Apothecary, Kroger, we've spoken to a representative from Kroger, specifically, Gucci Kroger, the Evansdale Kroger is going to be, probably carrying us, at some point later this year. For now, it's mostly going to be in the surrounding Morgantown area and just kind of expanding our footprint a little bit there. And then from there, we're going to hopefully, you know, get out into other parts.
Yeah, to see where it goes.
Yeah.
So one thing kind of unique to your cans of beer too is your artwork, I've noticed. Who helps with that?
Yeah. So our artwork is all done by Liz Palvovic. She's a local West Virginia Appalachian artist. She, you know, does fun stuff like you know, Mothman and pepperoni roll, like it just like everything that people associate with the state.
Yeah.
And you know, she's just also just a great person. She's always collaborating with other local West Virginia artists like Blinko Glass, and she did a collaboration with them to do a I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with what Blinko does, but they're sort of famous for these water pitchers that are like hand blown, and she collaborated with them to do a Mothman a Flatwoods Monster pitcher. And in the future, she's hoping to do a Mothman with them as well.
Oh, that's really neat.
Yeah.
So you mind if we circle back on a topic real quick, back to how you got started here? I was reading, you know, doing my research online and everything, and then some conversations we've had in the past. You had Pub Stompers. Is it Pub Stomper or Stompers?
Yeah, it's Pub Stomper singular. Yeah,
okay.
It's a source of confusion sometimes. Yeah.
So how does that all connect into Morgantown Brewing?
So yeah, we started Pub Stomper Brewing Company, and we got a lot of help from the community on that. That was awesome. I would encourage anybody who's trying to, any young people who are students at the university or considering becoming students at the university, the business launch lab there is where we got started. When we started there, the launch lab was really just kind of in its infancy, but it's grown so much. And, you know, there was just so many people there that really helped us. Nancy Trudell, basically she ran the EILC, which is the law clinic there, and gave us free legal help, helped us, you know, get a trademark, helped us form our LLC, you know, all that stuff that when, you know, you're 24 years old, you have no idea how to do, and it's going to cost you a ton of money to hire an attorney to do.
And that's all part of that launch lab?
It's all part of the launch lab, and it's all part of the business plan competition. And, you know, they helped us write our business plan. They gave us, you know, a ton of help. The competition is great. But probably, you know, one of the best parts about it is even if you don't win, you know, you learn so much because, you know, you've got like these mentors who are guiding you through the whole process. You've got so many resources through the university, you know, legal help, business help, creative help, in that launch lab. And now it's up in the Crossings building. Back when we were doing it, it was like in like a dungeon like basement in the physics building. Yeah. Downtown.
Cody, you mind telling me a little bit about what Pub Stomp was and what you did with that business?
Yeah. So Pub Stomper, basically we wrote this business plan to enter into the business plan competition that, you know, we were going to build out this, you know, huge production facility, you know, style brewery. And then we quickly realized, like, you know, raising that kind of capital when you have no assets and you're still in college, like, is almost impossible. So what we decided to do, we decided to pivot to a new business model that we had heard of a few breweries doing this. There's one called Evil Twin in New York that does this. And it's basically like, you know, some people call it a nomadic brewery, some people call it a contract brewery. And essentially what you do is you can go to another brewery and contract their equipment and, you know, say, you know, you've got space that you're not just constantly utilizing in these tanks. You know, you
can almost like a co-op situation.
Yeah, like a co-op bit, right? Situation. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And it's great. And so, you know, we did that actually namely with Morgantown Brewing Company. They were kind enough to allow us to use their equipment to contract for Pub Stomper Brewing Company. We brewed, you know, we were mainly focused on IPAs because, you know, that's 40% of the craft beer market share is still IPAs. It's very popular, and that's what we were into at the time. So we brewed our Pub Stomper Pale Ale, which was actually like an 8% pale ale, and it was really more of an IPA. It was kind of like, you ever had the Sierra Nevada Pale Ale?
That's my favorite.
Yeah, yeah. So it's got some hop bitterness. It had some hop bitterness to it.
But then how did you sell that product? Did you sell it through the host kind of brewery itself, or did you take it to market? How did you actually distribute that?
So we approached a number of different distributors, and we ended up settling with Mountain State Beverage for our distribution company, because they were just, you know, there was a guy there, Scott Parks, who was the CEO of the company, and he was just an awesome business mentor, really like enthusiastic about what we were doing. You know, like a lot of places, understandably, you know, we went in there, zero commercial brewing experience, you know, just like two, like, you know, college kids just like, hey, like, you know, we're going to brew this beer, and like, do you want to buy it and sell it to all these different accounts for us? And like, you know, most people are like, I guess. Yeah, sure. Right. Like, you know, that's never going to happen. But Scott was like, I think he saw our enthusiasm, and, you know, he was just as excited about it as we were.
And he kind of helped you along the way with that. And that's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
So did the concept exist here in Morgantown for that shared brew space already, or is that something you were kind of like, hey, look, this is going on here and there, is this something you might be willing to do?
Yeah, no, it was not going on at all.
Because
in fact, so the regulatory body that regulates all this stuff is the West Virginia ABCA. And so, you know, when you get a new alcohol license to, you know, do all this stuff, you have to call them and, you know, fill out a ton of paperwork and make sure that, you know, everything's copacetic legally. And they had no idea what we were even talking about, like, because no one had ever done it in the state before. You know, we were told, we're not even sure if you can do that. We'll have to talk to our legal counsel first.
And yeah, luckily, so in some way, you were almost a pioneer for the state in this.
Yeah, yeah, we were, yeah. And, you know, it's a great way to bootstrap a very high barrier to entry business of brewing, with almost no money.
Yeah, it almost speaks a little bit about the brewing community too, because it sounds like there's got to be some real generosity, because in one instance, you know, you have a brewer who exists and is established, and you're like, oh, hey, can I get, you know, almost, can I be your competitor and use your stuff to do it with?
Yeah.
You know, that's an interesting thought, because, you know, if someone were coming to, you know, do my field, work in real estate.
Upstage them.
Yeah. You know, yeah. And they're like, well, we want to start a company of our own. Can we come work with you first so we can figure it out? You know,
you'd help them out.
I probably would. Yeah, exactly.
Not
yeah.
Everybody
but
would.
Yeah. 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 It's just an interesting thing to think about.
No, yeah. Like craft beer is just, you know, I'll tell anyone this. It's just a very welcoming industry. And I think kind of like the general consensus is like, you know, a high tide floats all boats. Basically, it's a booming industry, growing every year in the U.S. Even in 2020, and people are willing to help.
It is a great way for each community to be its own kind of place, and not such a cookie cutter thing across the country. I mean, nothing against any of the other beers, but you buy a Budweiser in New York, it's the exact same Budweiser you get in California.
Right.
And it helps bring, I think, you know, a certain level of uniqueness to each and every community when it has its own flourishing business like that. And on that end, you know, since it is kind of a burgeoning business and so forth, is there a community of craft beers that get together to try to help further each other in that way? And are you familiar with that?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's resources for homebrewers. There's homebrewing clubs in Morgantown here. There's MASH, which is great resource for homebrewers. And then for professional brewers like us, there's the West Virginia Craft Brewers Guild, which I'm on the board for that. And that is a great community of business people and brewers.
What is the mission statement for that particular guild?
The mission statement for the Brewers Guild, essentially what we're trying to do is, you know, craft beer has, you know, shown itself time and time again to across the country seriously promote tourism. You know, you think about places like Asheville, North Carolina, which, you know, West Virginia shares a lot of the same natural resources, the same natural beauty, like whitewater rafting, mountain climbing, caving, et cetera.
Very similar communities.
Very similar communities. And, you know, we think that's kind of a model for what, you know, it could be like here. And so the Craft Brewers Guild is just trying to essentially it helped to advance that and help to bring.
Well, that's a really unique tie-in, I think, to the tourism thing, because a lot of people don't maybe they would, and maybe you're getting some people traveling here already for that. I know the Bourbon Trail in Kentucky is a really big deal, and I would say the same thing is similar maybe in the craft brewing industry. Have you seen that be the case?
Yeah, no. I mean, you know, most of our customers are from out of state, actually. So we get a lot of tourism here, especially in Morgantown, where we have such a large sort of transient population of students, you know, and young professionals. So yeah, we see a lot of a lot of out of state business and people, you know. We actually have requests all the time for people to they want us to ship them beer to like Canada. We've had people ask us to ship them beer in Brazil, you know, New York, like California, you know, and it's a shame we can't do it. And that's one thing that we're trying to address now with legislators, with the West Virginia Craft Brewers Guild. You know, we'd love to be able to just ship through third parties, you know, like FedEx and UPS, honestly, with, you know, of course, with a signature, ID and signature. But, you know, that's the kind of thing that gets people here. That kind of, it gets
Are you gaining any ground? Are you getting any traction on that? Is there any current legislation sponsored currently or anything people can be looking for in a way to support that?
Yeah. So, you know, the Brewers Guild has made huge strides in the past couple of years, you know, getting there used to be a growler limit, for example. So I could only sell you two growlers. I could sell each customer two growlers. Now, you know, I can sell you unlimited growlers. But I could have sold you an entire keg. So it was just sort of explaining to legislators, you know, sort of like what a growler is. It's not, you know, a situation where somebody's just like taking like a big jug of beer and just chucking the entire thing on a Sunday, which I think some people might have imagined it to be. It's,
sure.
It's something that people want to take home and share with like friends and family, and they want to get variety. So, you know, we have a lot of people come in and say, you know, oh, can I get, you know, I want my friends to try this beer. I want my family to try this beer. So, you know, they want to take, you know, five or six growlers home to, you know, Pittsburgh or, you know, wherever they're from, Virginia. We have that all the time. And so that was something that was really frustrating to have to say, like, you know, sorry, like legally we can only sell you these two. So pick your two favorites.
That's since changed.
So yeah, we can. So that's the kind of thing that we do. And, you know, that's what we're looking to address now with, you know, several other issues surrounding distribution and basically just trying to promote the state as you know,
a destination for great craft beer.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's so many different ones just, you know, in a 50-60 mile radius of us too.
Yeah.
And it's
one of those things where, you know, like you said, it's a very welcoming community. You know, we'd be happy to see more breweries in Morgantown. You know, you don't hear that very often. I'm sure you guys wouldn't be super stoked to see more realty companies in Morgantown, more competitors. But again, it's one of those things where, like, if you look at Asheville, you know, the more breweries that are here, the more people that are going to want to come and visit, you know, they'll go to all of them. And they're not going to just go to one.
They're going to take all of them on.
Yeah. When I go to Asheville, I'm not just going there to go to one brewery. So yeah, no, it's a super welcoming community, and we're trying to advance it and make West Virginia and Morgantown especially a destination for craft beer.
Fantastic. Yeah, Chris, so one of the big things we like to push on this particular program is the idea that there's a lot of people doing things that are great things within the community and always giving back to the community that's really supported them. Are there any things that you do down here through the Morgantown Brewing Company that helps support the community or causes that you guys are involved with?
Yeah. So, I mean, one thing that, you know, Morgantown Brewing Company did before we even started here, they did before 2018, that we wanted to make sure that we kept because it aligned with Cody and I's values a lot, is supporting Friends of Deckers Creek. There's almost nothing more important to beer than water. And you know, we just think that's a really important cause. And, so, you know, we normally host, a couple fundraisers for them throughout the year. And we're also always, you know, donating, kegs to events in the community that we want to support.
And so you host those events down here at this location here?
Yeah, for Friends of Deckers Creek, we host a couple events. Yeah, we have a silent auction. It's huge. I'm hoping this year we can start doing that again.
Is there a schedule right now? Is there a tentative date?
Not yet.
Yeah, I get it. It's kind of tough to make these decisions.
Yeah, but normally, I mean, it's huge. We get a ton of people come out, they're able to raise a lot of money for their cause, which is great. I mean, you know, I know, Zach, you're a fisherman, so I know, like, you know, clean water has got to be important.
Oh, sure is, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, we're lucky to have, you know, a great, you know, water treatment here in Morgantown and, you know, people like Friends of Deckers Creek, you know.
And I tell you, for people that haven't been up the rail trail up towards Masontown, I mean, some of the most beautiful stretches of creek and scenery right along there is absolutely gorgeous. I would love to see it full of trout. Flourishing trout would be absolutely terrific.
Me too.
And I think that's a great thing to give back to in our areas, the Deckers Creek thing.
Yeah.
Great organization.
Yeah, we really believe in it.
No, it certainly is. So we were thinking about your menu here a little bit. You think we could put something together for the podcast? Call it the podcast special. Listeners can say, hey, we listened to your podcast there. We talked about the special.
Yeah. I like that idea. Yeah. I think that'd be great.
Let's try to build something on the spot here with a burger, a side, and a drink.
Well, I noticed on your menu, one of the big things you guys do down here is burgers. I saw a plethora of different burgers available on the menu. Is that really your main deal down here?
Yeah, our big focus now is burgers. Just killer burgers and exotic ales is kind of, you know, our mission statement.
So, I mean, there's two things that go great together, you know, a great burger and a decent beer, you know.
That's what we try to do. We'd love to, you know, we've got a couple new beers that we're really excited about in the pipeline here. Our big focus has been fruited sours, you know, which if people aren't familiar,
I'm not familiar. What is that?
So it's sort of there's different levels of sour, right? We do sort of a lightly tart sour based beer. And then we just add a ton of fruit to it. Half a ton. Literally, we add about 500 pounds of, fruit puree to every single one of those batches. So we've got two coming out now. We've got Listen to the Chicks, which is from our Listen to series, which is kind of fun. We feature 90s female artists. So we've had, you know, Listen to Britney Spears, Listen to J-Lo.
That's the name of the drink itself.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Very creative. The name of the beer. And Listen to the Chicks it's fruited with mango, passion fruit, and lemon. And then we also have another series that we do called Mr. Goofy Pancakes. All of our names are, you know, they're a little out there, but we have a lot of fun coming up with them.
It draws attention. Yeah, that's right.
So Mr. Goofy Pancakes is a series of sours that we've been doing more recently where we add the same amount of fruit. And then we also add organic maple syrup, and we add some vanilla and cinnamon. So it's Mr. Goofy Pancakes. This time is going to be Mr. Goofy Blueberry Pancakes. So there's about 500 pounds of blueberries, and
Now, is that a new brew for you down here? Is that a brand new brew?
That's a brand new. We haven't even announced it yet. This is exclusive.
All right. So we're breaking it here on the podcast. We're getting pretty good at breaking this kind of stuff. So that's going to be available. When do you think people would be able to come down and sample some of that?
So the Chicks is available. That's on today. You guys came at just the right time. It's on now. And that's almost like a naked juice, you know. It's like a adult alcoholic naked juice.
Right on.
Is probably the best way to describe it. And then Mr. Goofy Blueberry Pancakes, he should be ready here probably later this week. So
okay. Yeah. So you got blueberry in that? Did you say vanilla?
Yeah,
cinnamon.
Blueberry, vanilla, cinnamon and maple syrup. So yeah, try to get like a cinnamon blueberry pancake.
That's okay.
Kind of
so
flavor profile.
Let's run this by, as I call my recovering chef, and see what's going to pair with that, Aaron.
What's going to pair with what kind of burger are we going to have? Is that what you're saying? What kind of burger
that's right.
you
need First to have with, all, with I that think one? A burger needs to be messy.
Yeah.
So we need a sauce on there at least. So what are you coming up with?
I don't know what he has back here.
All right. So it sounds like we're not going to come to an agreement on what the perfect burger is. So how about we just do the open menu, build your own. But you mentioned the podcast, and tell them what you might get, Chris. What do you?
Yeah, let's just do, I love what you guys are doing, and I hope other people appreciate it too. So let's just give like anybody that comes down and mentions the community podcast 10% off, just off your entire bill.
That is absolutely terrific. So you heard that. So you come down to the Morgantown Brewing Company, get yourself a burger, get yourself a beer, and you get 10% off of your check just for mentioning our podcast, the community podcast with Aaron Marco and Zach Beard.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Fantastic. Very nice. Well, thank you. Anything else you want to tell the viewers before we wrap everything up here? Or I say viewers, I guess listeners is really the appropriate.
I don't know. What do people usually say?
No, that's about
that's
it.
That's
man.
Exactly it. Yeah,
you nailed it. Yep. Right. Nailed it.
Any goals for this year?
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah, we're going to talk about that. Yeah. So yeah, we're hoping 2021 is I think everybody in the restaurant industry is hoping 2021 is going to be a much better year than it was last year. So we're hoping that we can get people back in here. Obviously, our business is focused around bringing people together. That's the best part of it. Besides research and development, that's the best part of my job is just being
that means beer tasting.
That's absolutely what okay. that means.
that was really professional sounding for beer tasting.
Yeah.
Just want to make sure.
Oh yeah, we have what we like to call Market Research Mondays, and that'll happen later today. But basically, we just get a bunch of beer together, and all the brewers and some of our kitchen guys try some beers together.
Yeah, that's a hard sell to get the kitchen guys to taste beer. Hey, Chris, one of the things I know, a great way to support the local restaurants in your community is going down and buying gift certificates. Do you guys offer gift certificates down here for people to purchase?
Yeah, and actually we are offering them on our website right now at a discount as well. That would be awesome.
And you do take out down here as well?
We do take out. We do delivery through DoorDash, and we also do delivery directly through our website. That's a great option for people. And unfortunately, the only thing we can't do is
the beer
to go.
Yeah, you got to come down.
The guild might get that solved at some point in time, and you can do that too. So
I hope so. Yeah,
but that's great. I think you got a great business down here. I really appreciate you letting us come in and taking your time and sitting down with us and talking to us a little bit. It's really awesome that you offered our listeners a 10% discount. Make sure you take advantage of that. And I wish you guys a lot of luck down here. That's what I would say about that. Zach, you got anything to tie
absolutely.
Things up?
And then, part of the whole podcast too is getting people to our community. Aaron and I are both realtors, and we love to help people out in that aspect. And
you've helped me out, yeah.
Fortunate enough to have the opportunity to help Chris with that. That's another goal. This is just to help get people here.
Yeah, I live 10 minutes away from the brewery now. I couldn't be happier. Yeah, so thanks.
Testimonial for Zach. Guys, if you are interested in buying or selling a house, you can certainly contact the community podcast here, and either Zach or myself would be happy to help you take care of those goals. And that's the show for today, guys. Thank you very much, Chris. It was really great talking to you. Look forward to sampling some of your beer.
Thank you, guys.
Cheers.